Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports for You. I am Bob Gibson, and we have a Santa Margarita special for you this week. We're going to visit with Craig Johnson, the ice hockey coach out at Santa Margarita, former NHL player. Once upon a time, got traded for Wayne Gretzky. We'll talk about that with Coach. And then later on in the show, John Fitzpatrick is the longtime softball coach out at Santa Margarita, and we'll visit with him and talk about his great program as well. But we start things off this week by talking with Craig Johnson, the ice hockey coach at Santa Margarita High School. Coach, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
Yeah, appreciate it. We want to take some time here to kind of go through your career as a hockey player and all the things that you accomplished and talk about your time now at coaching as well. You know, I kind of want to start back with maybe young Craig Johnson. You grew up in Minnesota. Was it just a natural to have a hockey stick in your hand from a young age?
Yeah, my dad started me when I was probably about three years old, maybe even a little younger. And it started off, we lived right by a lake, and in the wintertime there wasn't a lot to do. So you would go down to the lake, you'd ice fish, you'd skate, whatever you could do. And I found it to be a lot of fun when I was little. My dad said I never wanted to leave. So growing up in Minnesota, it's like playing basketball in Indiana or football in Texas.
Right.
You know, you go to the state hockey tournament, and each year they're getting 20,000 people at the games.
Whew.
You know, the state championship this year between Eden Prairie and Grand Rapids was 20,000 spectators. So it's a great atmosphere. It's a great place. It was a great place for me to grow up. I enjoyed it. I always talk about in California, we have to travel a lot. We have to travel. Like this year, we had to go to Cleveland for the national championships. We went to Minnesota three times with our team. Growing up in Minnesota from where I was born to all the way through college hockey, I think the furthest rink I really went to was about 15 miles from my house.
Oh, wow.
So my high school was 15 minutes away. The University of Minnesota was 7 minutes from my house. So I was very lucky in that way in that I didn't have to travel much.
So by the time you really hadn't traveled much till you got into professional hockey, I imagine. And at that point, it must have been a real eye-opening experience to see the rest of the U.S. and Canada and other places and worldwide, as it turned out for you.
Yeah, right. The only time I really left the state is we had U.S. national camps, like for 15, 16-year-olds, and those were in Colorado Springs. And other than that, I never left the state of Minnesota.
Growing up, obviously, you know, there's you and there's thousands of other kids that want to play hockey. At what point did you know, number one, that this was something that you really wanted to do, and number two, that it was something you were really good at?
Well, again, you know, growing up there, it's different because, yes, you had the Minnesota North Stars, but for me, my biggest goal when I was young was to play high school hockey. I wanted to go to, I grew up in St. Paul, and I wanted to play for Hill Murray High School, which was one of the top teams in the state, and that was my goal. When I hit that goal, my next goal, I wanted to play for the Gophers, because growing up, watching their games, you know, the games were on television, you were familiar with the players.
Right.
So you wanted to be a Gopher, and, you know, those were my dreams, and everything else just kind of fell into place. All of a sudden, people started looking at me. I was drafted by St. Louis in the second round. And all of a sudden, at that moment I was drafted, which was in 1990, I thought, you know what, I might have a chance to play pro hockey. And when I went to the university, I got 3 years of great development. I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to play on the U.S. Olympic team in 1994. And after that, when I got back from the Olympics, I signed my first pro contract with St. Louis.
Yeah, you led me into my next question here, which is talk about living your dreams. I mean, you know, you mentioned high school and in college, you're checking off the list to play professional hockey is probably beyond most kids' dreams. And then to be able to represent your country and put on that sweater, that had to just be the end all be all right there.
Yeah, representing, you know, your country, anytime you get to put on the sweater, the USA sweater, it's a great honor. To grow up in Minnesota, to see the 1980 Olympic team coached by Herb Brooks that had many Minnesotans on it,
right.
It became a dream of every kid to play in the Olympics. So that was an incredible experience, walking in the opening ceremonies, being able to go to the Athletes Village, and all of a sudden I had a Gatorade with Tommy Moe, who won the downhill skiing medal.
Right.
Earlier that day, and I had no idea. We were just talking, and I go, oh, have you competed yet? He goes, yeah, I just competed today. I'm like, how'd you do? He goes, well, I won the gold. So it was pretty neat, and then just the whole experience of, Norway was such a beautiful country, and they did a great job hosting, and, to walk in the opening ceremonies was a dream come true.
Craig Johnson joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View. He's the former professional hockey player, and he's currently the head coach of the Santa Margarita hockey program. You mentioned Herb Brooks, and obviously that's a legacy that you can fill volumes with. Is that a legacy that's still felt in Minnesota and in all of USA Hockey to this day?
For sure, for sure. What he did for the sport, what he did, to put USA Hockey on the map was, to win that gold and to achieve it the way they achieved it against a team that was so dominant, which was the Soviet Union. And yeah, he was an amazing man. I was fortunate enough to be able to know him a little bit, and I knew his family, and they're great people, and they love the sport, and they love the St. Paul kids as well.
What's it like to be part of that fraternity that represented the United States? Obviously, we know that 80 team, and it's been in documentaries and movies and made about that, but you can always say I was part of that. I got to represent USA Hockey at the Olympics. I imagine it's a pretty special fraternity to be a part of.
It is, it's something every kid dreams about, whether it be in the Summer Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and it's something I was very grateful I got to do. As far as comparing us to the 80 Olympics, we were a little bit further away. We lost in our crossover game, which is the quarterfinals. I think we lost to Finland, and we were young. We were a young team. We were playing against a lot of pros from Finland, and we were kind of young and naive, and we thought we were pretty good. And they kind of showed us the the proper way to play hockey.
How does USA Hockey stack up against the rest of the world? Have we made strides, into what Canada obviously is, and what the Russians and the Finns and the Swedes bring every year?
Yeah, USA Hockey's made huge strides. They started a national development program, which is for your best 17, 18-year-olds. And that program is doing a great job in developing just superstar NHL talent. Patrick Kane came out of the national development program, and many others as well. But USA Hockey now, when they go to the World Championships, when they go to the World Juniors, when they go to any national event, international event, they look to win a gold medal. That is their goal. And when I was playing, we were hoping to win a medal, and we weren't always sure, and if we did, it was kind of an upset. Now it's no longer an upset, and USA Hockey is doing a great job promoting the game in the United States. It's one of the fastest growing games, right up there with like lacrosse. It's a sport that's growing in California as well, from Wayne Gretzky, when Wayne came, was it the 80s 90s, right in there. I think there were 4,000 or 5,000 people playing hockey in California. Now we're sitting at about 24,000 that are playing, and you can see the Anaheim the Ducks have done a great job. The NHL Ducks have done a great job promoting the sport. The Samuelis, they're building a new four-sheet facility in Irvine. They have a facility in Lakewood, which has three sheets, a facility in Westminster, the two-sheeter in Anaheim Ice, and then also one in Yorba Linda, along with many other roller rinks as well. So they're giving kids an opportunity to play. They are keeping rinks open. They're, I think we have over 800 players under the Duck umbrella.
Wow.
Which is a huge number. I see it growing with the Great Park rink coming in. And like I said, that will be a four-sheeter. It's going to be a phenomenal, piece of property, and it's going to grow the sport even more.
Yeah, it's so true. In our second segment, we'll take a break in just a couple of minutes here. In our second segment, we'll definitely we're going to hit on not only your program, but just how much it has grown, especially in Southern California here. But I want to kind of finish off going through the rest of your career a little bit here. So you got 10 years in the National Hockey League. You were traded for Wayne Gretzky once upon a time. I mean, how great could that be? Your name is synonymous with the great one as well in hockey history.
Yeah, No, that was a surprise when it happened.
I
remember I was sitting in my apartment in St. Louis, and we had a game the next day, and all of a sudden I got a call, and they're like, "Oh, you've been traded, and you're going to Los Angeles." And right away, you had heard the rumors, and I'm like, "Oh my God, I think I'm going for Gretzky." So it wasn't just me; it was a few of us. So we had the shoes were way too big to fill.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there's nobody else in the history of the game that could probably fill those shoes, I'm sure.
No. But yeah, I look back at it now, and it's a pretty neat thing, and I was lucky enough to have a successful career. I got to play for many great coaches, had many great teammates, and I look back, and I don't regret anything about my career.
Right. You go St. Louis to L.A., Toronto, Washington, and then back to California, where you were a member of the Mighty Ducks when they were the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. At what point was there any point during your career where the thought of coaching maybe kind of crept into your mind?
I guess when you're playing, you're more concerned about that. You're concerned about, earning a roster spot the next year.
Right.
Just earning a roster spot the next game. It was what I was more concerned about. I had my parents were both teachers, and when I was in school, I was studying to be a teacher. So I did know that was something I in the back of my mind, that was something I wanted to do. But until I went over to Salzburg, Austria, I went over and played for the Red Bull. I had retired, and I got a call from Pierre Paget. Pierre called me and asked if I wanted to go to Salzburg and play, finish out the season. So I went over there in October, and I finished the season with them. It was a great team. We ended up winning the Austrian Cup.
And we'll talk about those hockey players when we come back. Quick break here. We're visiting with Craig Johnson, former NHL star and now the head hockey coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. We'll be back right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us. Welcome back to Catholic Sports View here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And we're visiting with Craig Johnson, a former NHL star, member of the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and now the head coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And Coach, where we left off, you had finished your playing career, and I guess like any athlete, you think, hey, what's next? What's the next thing that's going to happen in my life? Most athletes retire when they're still very young men. Did you have a sense that coaching was the next stop for you, or were there other things that maybe caught your eye at that time?
Well, yeah, when I finished, I wanted to help my kids because I got so much out of the sport. And my middle child was just starting out at Mite Hockey. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is a great opportunity to get involved. So I started coaching him, and that's how it started. And I've actually coached him from, I think it was about 2007, right in there up until this year. So he's every year I've progressed with him. We started at Mite, we went to Squirt, we went to Pee Wee Bantam, now we're in Midget, and he'll be a second year Midget player. And he also played on the high school team as well with his older brother. So that's kind of how I got involved. And I was approached by Art Trottier from the Junior Ducks, and he asked if I wanted to bring him over and coach with the Ducks, and I decided to do that, and I've been with the Ducks as the director of coaching and coaching also teams over there for about 8 years now.
It's not always the easiest thing for somebody who's played on a professional level, played at the highest levels of the sport, to then turn around and deal with kids who may not be at that level. Did you find it was easy to relate to the kids and help teach them the game? How receptive were the kids? Obviously, having an NHL star helps, but how receptive are the kids here in Southern California to learning the game?
What to me was the most amazing thing about the kids in California was they're no different than the kids from Canada or the kids from Minnesota. Mm. They want to learn. They want to get better. They love the sport, and that's why they're involved. It's an expensive sport out here. And if you don't love it, if you don't, want to get better, I find that, why would a parent want to invest in a kid who doesn't love something? So we've been real lucky with all the teams that we've had. At Santa Margarita, at the Junior Ducks, that all the kids have been great kids. You know, they're driven. They want to improve. They come to work. They're like sponges at the young ages, where you can see big improvements in them throughout the year. Especially kids that come in as a freshman, and then you see them leave as a senior, and you look at the before and the after, and it's pretty incredible. That's what I find with the kids out here, is they do have the passion for the sport. They have the love for the game, and when you have that, it's very easy to coach.
Craig Johnson joining us here, the head coach of ice hockey at Santa Margarita High School. You know, you mentioned starting out when you were, you know, 3-4 years old. You know, had your dad putting a stick in your hand. Are kids starting that early now here in California?
Yeah, they are. They are. You go to the rink and you see the little guys out there. They're skating, and I think now the game is getting more and more skilled. So you see people starting earlier, and you see them a little bit more advanced. It's like the progression from when you watch football, and you see it from 15, 20 years ago, and now you see it now. You know, the guys are faster, they're bigger, and it's starting to happen to hockey as well.
Is there still a stigma, maybe around the rest of the country? You know, obviously, you know, the Minnesota kids and the Canadian kids, is there still a little bit of that kind of looking sideways at this California kids going, yeah, right?
yeah. That's the hard part, is the respect from the California players to the kids from the Midwest. We haven't quite earned the respect. We're getting better and better. When we take our team out to nationals for Santa Margarita, when we first started going out there, people would kind of laugh, "Oh, good, we have Santa Margarita. This should be an easy game." And now we're at the point where when we go there, teams are like, "Oh, shoot, we have to play Santa Margarita," or they're talking about us winning the championship.
Right.
So it is getting better. We have, we're representing better nationally. Kids are now being, drafted in the USHL, the NHL. Kids are going to play college hockey from California. And it's great to see, because that's what you want to see. And it's not just the kids that are getting scholarships or the kids that are getting drafted. You see many kids that are going on to play club hockey.
Right.
They're going on to colleges where they have an opportunity to play a little bit more, and to go to school and to play the sport they love to play.
You know, 7-8 years ago, you know, there was just a handful of high school hockey teams in Southern California. And as you mentioned at the top of the show here, the sport is just mushroomed here. I mean, the number of I'm losing count now, the number of high school programs that have blossomed here in Southern California. I mean, it really is the fastest growing. You mentioned lacrosse, too, and that's the other one. But hockey really is becoming the fastest growing sport here.
It is growing, and like you had mentioned, we started out with two teams, JCR and Santa Margarita, and now we're at 40-plus teams.
Wow.
You know, I think it was like 44, somewhere in there. And, you know, to see the sport, and especially high school hockey, grow, it's a testament to what the Ducks have done. They put a lot of money into the program. They provided the ice time. For the first few years, they provided equipment. They provided, coaching for the kids for a minimal price. And then after 5 years, each program is on their own. And now you see more and more programs going out on their own, and they're surviving and they're thriving. So it's in the parity, in the league is growing. From days where it was kind of dominated by a few, now it's you have everybody that can compete, and it's good to see the Olus, the J. Sarahs, the Santa Margaritas, the John Boscos, the Damians, the Edisons, Huntington Beach has a program. Modern Day is just going to start one, so it's kind of neat to see all these football schools now becoming hockey schools.
Right? Maybe pull a few of those kids away from those other sports, get them into some hockey gear. You know?
That's right. We could use a few football players for sure.
Yeah, right. Does it help too that the Kings have won a couple of cups in recent years? The Ducks won one a few years back, and are perennial contenders in the playoffs. How much does that help that professional hockey has been successful in this area as well?
It helps a lot. The NHL did a study, and it just showed the peak in or the growth in numbers, especially the learn to play programs, when Chicago or when LA or when Anaheim won cups, to see the next year how much it would grow. You know, the success of the Sharks last year really grew the numbers up in Northern Cal last year. And hopefully this year we have another peak with the Ducks.
Yeah, you mentioned Art Trottier, that and you know, for people who don't know, you know, Art, his tireless work in helping put together this program within the Anaheim Ducks to grow youth hockey, to grow high school hockey. You know, talk about the work that's been done behind the scenes to help make this happen.
Yeah, Art is in charge of the junior Ducks in the high school, and you know, he runs the rinks. He's in charge of the Irvine facility as well, mm-hmm. that's being built. So he's a busy man, but he's done so much for the sport. He's growing it. And the greatest thing about Art is he's such a good person. So it's good. You know, he's a pleasure to work for, and he's done so much to grow the game.
Is hockey cost prohibitive at all? I mean, there's a lot of equipment involved. I imagine there's somewhat of a financial, you have to investment into getting a kid going into hockey.
Yeah, it is. It's a big investment to get into it. It's at the younger ages, it's manageable, you know, to keep the cost down. But as they get older, you get into the travel hockey and you get into 16 AAA or 18 AAA, and then they have to travel throughout the country to play competition. You see the budgets having to grow as well. High school hockey is affordable, but it also is expensive just because the ice is, you know, it's around $475 an hour for ice.
Ooh.
So you can add that up. We practice three times a week, and you know, we practice from August all the way through pretty much through March. So it is a costly sport.
No wonder people are opening rinks all across Southern California. That's not a bad investment if you can get that and find the kids that'll get on the ice and pay that money, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's such a great game. It teaches so much.
Oh yeah,
you know, and I think it's a game also that, you know, you can be smaller to play and be successful. You know, you see successful guys like Johnny Gaudreau or Gianta in the NHL that are under 5'10". You know, it's a sport for everybody too. You know, it's a sport that people see that it takes hard work and commitment, and it's about winning battles. And you know, it's basically a correlation to life.
Yeah, it really is. How much has the game changed as you watch the NHL game today? How much has it changed from when the time you played?
Well, it's changed a lot. When I played, hooking and holding was part of the game.
Yeah.
Now it's been eliminated from the game. So the game is faster. It is more skilled. You know, the skilled players are able to use their skill more than they were in the past. And it's just becoming an easier game to watch too. It's like you turn on the TV at night and you watch the NHL playoffs, and every game's exciting. And it's back and forth, and there's been comebacks. There's been, you know, now there's two game sevens tonight. It's a great time for the NHL.
Yeah, it really is. One quick break, and then we'll be back. We'll finish things out with head coach Craig Johnson of the Santa Margarita Catholic High School ice hockey program. Back with more right after this.
The Singing Priest, Father Kevin McGoldrick, is coming to Christ Cathedral, Friday, May 19th in Fried Theater. Father Kevin has been a priest for over 10 years and a musician for over 30. When he became a priest, he thought he'd have to give up music, but the Lord had other plans. And for that, we all benefit. Sponsored by Santiago Retreat Center and Catholics at Work OC. Tickets just $15. For more info, go to thesingingpriest.eventbrite.com. That's thesingingpriest.eventbrite.com.
Thanks again for sticking with us here on Catholic Sports View on Immaculate Heart Radio. We've been enjoying our visit with Craig Johnson, the head ice hockey coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. Coach, you're 45 years old, same age as I am. There's still a player playing in the NHL, Jaromir Jagr, who is our age. Is that amazing to you that Jaromir Jagr is still playing in the NHL after all these years?
Yeah, it is. He's amazing. I look at it every time, and he's a man that's dedicated to his sport. He works out constantly. He's everything is about hockey, and he has the skill to play, too. I wouldn't be surprised to see him play 2-3 more years.
Wow. That's just amazing. Hockey's that kind of a game, isn't it? I mean, Gordie Howe played into his 50s. I mean, if you keep yourself in relatively good shape and you have the skill, it's just that kind of a game that allows an older person to play for a while.
Well, I don't know how they do it, because I always say I could probably go back and play one or two, maybe two a month. but for him to go through an 80-game schedule plus preseason is pretty amazing, because my body's broken down right now, and I couldn't even imagine his. He's played a lot more hockey than I have.
Can you tell right away? I mean, obviously you've been around, you know, the greatest hockey players who've ever played the game. Can you tell when you see a kid if he's got that something special?
Yeah, you do, and it's not always the size or the speed. It's usually the brain in the hockey player. You know, the ability to see things, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps ahead of everybody else, that separates the good player or the great players from the good players. Yeah, you can see it, the way they glide, the way they skate, the way they move. You know, you can definitely see little things in players that that make them great.
Is it an advantage to have, Timo Solani's son, part of the Santa Margarita program there? How much of an advantage of it, and I'll ask it from your standpoint as well, as the father of young hockey players who I'm sure want to play in the league someday, how much of an advantage is it to have a former NHL player as a father?
I was lucky enough to be able to coach all three of the Solani boys.
Yeah.
So, Emil, Etu, and Levy, and all three of them are great kids. You know, they get the game. You can see in the genes, you know, of Timo that
those are pretty good genes.
So they've been a huge part to the program, you know, and just incredible kids as well. Timo obviously is one of the nicest guys around, but his kids are like that as well.
Right, and I know he's been a big supporter of the youth hockey in the area. You know, he stayed here in Southern California and put down roots here. Is that important as well, to have people stick around this area and continue to grow the game, to be that face of hockey? You're one of the faces. Timo's one of the faces here in Southern California.
Yeah, for sure. If you look at, you know, Scott Niedermeyer is out here as well. And his boys play. He's got four boys, and all four have played. You know, Timo with his, and you know, for those guys, what they do, and especially Scott. Scott's very involved in the coaching part of it as well. So, you know, for kids to go to the rink and say, you know what, Scott Niedermeyer is one of my coaches, and he does, he helps out, he's humble, he's nice about it, and he does so much, and you would never notice he's in the Hall of Fame. And Timo's like that as well. He supports his boys. You know, when he does come out to our practices, he's very involved, and you can see, you know, he has so much to offer. And both him and Scott have so much to offer all these kids.
Is there a secret to why hockey play? And I say this as a reporter who's covered all sports over the years, but hockey players truly are the nicest people. Is there a way or is there a reason, you know, did kids grow up, quote unquote, the right way, you know, as hockey players, become gentlemen and become good young men?
I agree with you, first of all, that hockey players are just good people.
Yeah.
They are. You know, hockey, as I talked about before, it teaches a lot of life lessons. And what I got out of playing in the NHL and watching these kids and coaching them is there's, you know, obviously the teamwork part, but there's the discipline, there's the work ethic, there's the hard work, the respect, you know, friendship that is the bonds that are made between these kids, the commitment that you have to put into the game, you know, financially, and also the time that it takes. There's sportsmanship, sacrifice, failure, success, all those things that hockey gives are irreplaceable.
It's the only sport where you beat on each other for 7 games, and then everybody shakes hands at the end of that final game. I mean, that's the ultimate sign of respect, right? That we'll go to battle with each other, but when it's all said and done, you know, we're part of this bigger brotherhood.
Yeah, it is, and that's just the respect of the game and the respect of the players.
Craig Johnson joining us here on Catholic Sports View, our final moments with Coach. Just want to go over a few other things with you. And we talked back in the first segment, you know, the way hockey has grown here in Southern California. Is it easy just to say that because of Wayne Gretzky, hockey lives here in Southern California? Is it that easy just to trace it back to his time here and what he meant to the game?
Well, I think Wayne had a huge part in it, you know, where where before hockey was, you know, something that maybe people watched here or there on ESPN, all of a sudden became something where all of a sudden the rollerblades or the roller hockey became more popular. Mm-hmm. You saw kids more involved in the game. I think the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks, you know, with Disney coming in and bringing hockey to Anaheim, helped a lot in the Orange County area. And you do see a lot of people, I'll go to the rink and, you know, you talk to people and they're starting their kids in the game and I'll be like, oh, where are you from originally? And they're from Minnesota, they're from Canada, and, you know, they're down here now. They've set their roots up down here and, you know, they want to, kind of like what I did, I wanted to give my kids something that I grew up with and that I enjoyed so much. And to have that opportunity to watch my kids grow up in the game has been incredible. And one of the things I touched on before was the high school hockey. And, you know, in Minnesota, the high school hockey, I told you that it was 20,000 and there's yeah. high schools everywhere, and it's like Indiana basketball. Well, I never thought years ago, like when my kids started playing the game, that both of them could have an opportunity to play high school hockey. That is a possibility now, and it's come true. My oldest one just graduated from SM. He played 4 years there and absolutely loved the experience, right. and being able to hang out with his friends and, you know, have lunch, go to prom, go to homecoming, you know, just, you know, the bond that they built from their freshman to their senior years is something that he'll take away for the rest of his life.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, Southern California has been the emerging market in hockey. How good has the NHL been in maybe identifying other markets? I would think Texas is a natural area where hockey could really grow down there as well.
It is. Texas, it's growing because of the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
You know, they've had success. They did win a cup down there, and you see it booming down there. And their high school league was actually bigger than ours. I think they had over 70 teams for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then it kind of dropped, and now it's, I don't know where it is, but it is growing there too, and they do have players that are moving on to higher levels.
Florida's got a couple of teams as well, in the Lightning and the Panthers. Is there a market there for high school hockey?
Yeah. Every year, the North Broward is from, I can't remember exactly where, but Pete Worrell, who played in the NHL, he's been leading that program for many years, and they have great hockey players that are coming out of it. Arizona just had Austin Matthews, who was drafted first overall last year, mm-hmm. played this year in the NHL for Toronto, and, you know, most likely will win the Rookie of the Year. But you see it growing in places you never would have thought years ago. And it has to do with, you know, the NHL putting franchises in those areas and making the game affordable, number one, but also just putting it in front of people to let them find out for themselves if they'll like it or not.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, we're seeing the game growing and growing back into areas. I mean, the NHL went back into Winnipeg and places like that where you thought, you know, hockey was kind of, you know, migrating south out of Canada, but we see that, you know, the professional game, you know, coming back in certain areas. How important is it to have the overall health of hockey on the pro level as good as it's? I think it's as good as it's ever been right now.
Yeah, it is. And who would have thought that they would have a team in Vegas?
Yeah,
you know,
that was going to be my next question to you. Did you ever? That's how crazy is that going to be, right?
yeah. I never figured there'd be sporting teams in Vegas, but now it looks like football will move there too.
Right. Of all the leagues, hockey got there first. Hockey can say we got to Vegas first, and there's another market. I mean, plenty of kids out there that I think will obviously get involved, you know, with the game. You know, we hear so much about how hockey is behind, you know, all the other three professional sports. Number one is that okay to be the fourth sport? Is that or is there a constant thought of, hey, you know, hockey's got to make gains. We have to get up there and try to get equal with baseball and football and basketball.
Yeah, well, I liked what Charles Barkley said the other day when he was talking about the NBA playoff games, and he said that thank goodness hockey's on. He goes, at least we can watch something exciting.
It's so true, too. I tell everybody within earshot of wherever I'm at, I say, man, you got to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's so much more interesting than the basketball playoffs. Even people I know who don't know the game very well say, I'll watch the playoffs in hockey because there's just nothing like it.
Yeah, no, the intensity and, you know, just, you know, every moment is big, whether it be a penalty that somebody takes or you know, the power play, or, you know, it's so fun and fast, and it's, you know, the compete level. That's what I think people love to see, is how hard they compete.
Right. Well, our closing moments here with head coach Craig Johnson of the Santa Margarita Ice Eagles. You obviously won big hockey games as a player over your career, but is there just something special about watching kids, you know, now that you're the coach, watching kids achieve their dreams, win a national title?
Yeah, it is. It was, you know, this year was so disappointing to get so close, and I felt we had the team, and we were in a position where we could have won it. And, you know, to end up just one goal short was very hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew how hard the kids worked, and, you know, they did deserve it, but it just didn't happen this year. But we'll look to learn from that. And like I said, we have new kids coming in that will help us, and hopefully we can be back there next year.
Like you mentioned, life lessons, right? Lots of life lessons in the game of hockey.
There are.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Coach, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. Thanks so much for your time. We wish you luck going forward, and we're definitely going to be following the Eagles, you know, as the seasons go on here, and cheering you guys on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate
All right, thank you. That's Craig Johnson, former NHL player, and now the head hockey coach at Santa Margarita Catholic High School. We'll have more on Catholic Sports View when we come back. Stay with us right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. To Catholic Sports View. Now we get a few moments to visit with the head softball coach out at Santa Margarita as we continue our special look at the Eagles this week, and that is John Fitzpatrick. Coach, thanks for making some time for us here at Catholic Sports View.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You know, let's start off by talking about this year's team. You know, another strong team again this year with the Eagles. You sit in second place as we speak here with you this week. You know, how do you feel about the rest of the season as you kind of get down the stretch here and try to get towards that playoff spot?
Yeah, we're excited about it. We've been working hard. Got a good group of kids this year. Got a really great chemistry with the team, and they work hard every day, and we're looking forward to these next two opportunities to lock something up.
You've been, what is this year, your 15th or 16th year, I think, you know, as head coach of the program. Can you tell right away, you know, when you've got that kind of a special group?
You know, initially, it takes a while. I think in the fall, we do a lot of fall workouts, and once the teams are selected, it gives me an opportunity to evaluate talent. And, you know, we're not just looking for the most talented kids. We want kids that can adapt to our culture and work hard and be a good teammate. That's important to us.
What makes a good teammate, especially in softball?
I think a good teammate is someone that cares about others, not just themselves. I think sometimes softball can be a really statistically oriented sport, and the best players and the best teammates are the ones that care about others.
You had a whole other career before you got into softball. Kind of tell us about, you know, how you got, I don't want to say mixed up in softball, but, you know, how did you get started coaching softball?
I started a long time ago. I think like most dads, my firstborn was my daughter, Alicia, and who's actually the principal of Mission Basilica. So,
oh, wow.
She was a good softball player in her own right, and started her, I think she was 7 or 8 years old, and the rest is history.
Yeah. You know, was it something where you just started as a parent and then said, hey, you know, maybe I could get more involved in this?
Yeah. I started as assistant coach. I didn't really know. I mean, I always had a passion for baseball. I'm a Boston Red Sox fan, so I kind of grew up with a great love for baseball. And when I moved to California from Boston, I, you know, started looking at softball, and my daughter got involved, and I started off as the assistant, and worked my way up from there.
Right. I assume you played Little League. You played, you know, baseball, yeah, throughout your life. Were you a pretty good player?
No, I was not.
Well, that takes you to that. You're a better coach than you are a player. Right?
I'm a much better coach than I was a player. You can ask my teammates. They would tell you the same thing.
Talking with John Fitzpatrick, the head softball coach at Santa Margarita High School. You sit there with, I think, 21 wins. I think the only puzzle you haven't been able to figure out this year is Orange Lutheran. They sit atop the Trinity. But how good is the league this year?
This year it's very good. I mean, we got four great teams that are battling together, and it always seems to always come down this way. And Orange Lutheran is a tremendous team. I mean, they are really tough, and they have one of the toughest batting orders around. You know, they get a great pitcher in Maddie Dwyer, and I love competing against her. She's a warrior and one of my favorite players from the other dugout of all time. I mean, she's a really great player, but they get some great players on the other team as well. And today we're they're playing Marty Day, and they have a lot of speed and good pitching, great defense. I think the best defense in the league. And Rosary, you know, we always battle against each other. We have, you know, history of winning it at each other's fields for the past 15 years, and Tom Tice is a great coach there as well. And Jay Serra, we just played them last week, and they have a lot of talent. They're an up-and-coming team, and I think with the addition of a couple more players, they'll be in the hunt next year as well.
Can one or two players really make a difference within a program?
Absolutely. I mean, it extends your lineup. You can go from five strong to seven strong, and your defense gets better. You have more options. You can play kids at different positions, which makes everything better and strengthen your lineup. Absolutely.
You know, there's always the comparison between baseball and softball, and then, you know, there are some of these similarities, and there are a lot of differences as well. But, you know, pitching is always paramount, whether it's baseball or softball. But it's even more important, it seems, in softball. You have to have that really solid number one pitcher.
Absolutely. And we are blessed to have Paige Vargas in the circle. Like you said, everything starts in the circle. And I think, you know, as any team will attest to, you know, the pitcher is faced with the most pressure. And we're lucky to have her this year. She's been doing a great job for us.
You mentioned Coach Tice, and, you know, he over at Rosary, he's got a combination this year, pitcher-catcher, that have been together for years, that grew up together. How important is that pitcher-catcher relationship?
It really is important, and this year we've been lucky. We had a freshman that stepped in. She had never caught before, and she spent all fall working with us, and we got her with another coach who specializes in catching, and she has really done a tremendous job. I mean, she is really at the top of her game. Her name is Mel Santos, and she's only a freshman, and she has done a fabulous job, and our Paige Vargas is really respects her, and they have a great chemistry together.
You've coached club softball as well, you know, over the years. How important is it to get girls who start out, you know, young and learn the game the right way, so by the time they get to high school, you know, they're ready to just hit the ground running, like as you mentioned, a freshman player like that?
Right. She comes from a good program. She comes from the Cruz organization, and she's been taught well, and I think that's critical. I mean, I'm not a big advocate of 10 and under. I think it's important for the girls to establish a love for the game, and I think you can play rec up until age 12. But from that point, to be really successful, I think most of the girls that go on to get scholarships start at 12 and under in the club program.
Do you find that the game sort of weeds itself out at that point? You know, the girls that really love it will continue on with it, and maybe those that don't, you know, find other things that interest them?
I think it's about 14. I think after they finish their freshman year, I think the kids make a decision. They come in here, and we encourage kids to play different sports. And we've had kids that are really talented players and go on to play lacrosse or basketball or track. I know Marta Day has a great track player that I think she just won the 100th the other day.
Yeah, it's so important. We talk about, you know, kids getting a chance to do other things. You know, there's so much specialization now. But I wonder how much of that is the kids, too, that they really find a love for, let's say, softball.
Yeah, I think it's important to play multiple sports when you're younger. I really do. I strongly encourage that. And, you know, it works different muscle groups and gives you an idea of what your passion is. And I think, you know, once you find your passion, then, you know, you have to pursue it, because recruiting's so different now. I mean, kids are committing, and some kids are committing in the eighth grade to colleges. And
wow.
So not that I'm a fan of that, but that is the nature of the beast. So that's why, you know, getting with a good club program is really significant.
Yeah, I have no idea how a college can tell an eighth grader is going to help their college program in 5 years, but I guess they have their ways of figuring that out.
I think that's what makes them great. They identify good talent, and you can see it. I mean, the kids that go on, I would say 90% of those kids are successful, the ones that are signed really early.
Yeah, interesting.
So they must be doing something right.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. John Fitzpatrick, the head softball coach at Santa Margarita, joining us this week on Catholic Sports here on Immaculate Heart Radio. When you talk about the chance for girls to go to the next level, to play at college, I imagine that's probably one of the most important aspects of your job, is to help these girls who do want to go to that next step.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it's important that, you know, not necessarily from the skill side of it. But I think as we talked about before, I think it's important that they understand, you know, that you have to sacrifice, you have to work hard, you have to be a good teammate. And I think, you know, those characteristics will take you through college and take you into the next phase of your life. I think that's the important thing of high school. The club side is, I mean, they're with them for 9 months out of the year. We were with them for, you know, and our season is about 3 or 4 months. So, you know, it's important that you teach them, because high school does parallel the college game, mm-hmm. because we're together every day of the week. And I think it's important that you teach them that there's more than the skill set of softball, that it's a variety of things that you have to bring to the game and to your team.
You're obviously on campus, you know, full time at Santa Margarita. You know what a special place it is and what a unique place it is. And, you know, part of the uniqueness of a Trinity League program, because Modern Day is this way and Jay Sayre and Servite and on. But, you know, the fact that all the programs are so successful, you know, athletically, there's always that push, I think, for athletes from their peer group, you know, to be that much better.
Yeah, this is a special place, no question about it. And like you said, I mean, all the Catholic schools that I go to and we walk on, I mean, you can feel it. And I know that sounds corny, but you can feel how special
each
campus is.
It really is. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's just a different feeling when I walk on the campus at Santa Margarita or Modern Day or these places. You know, you just get that feeling of a family and a community rather than mm-hmm. just a place where people spend time for 6 or 8 hours a day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we tried, you know, our culture, we just try to incorporate, you know, faith, academics, and softball. And I think, you know, talking to some of the other coaches throughout the league, I can see that. Before every home game in the Trinity League, we have a circle of faith where we stand around with both teams around the circle and we say a prayer for each other before the game. And I think that is a special moment. That's one of my favorite moments of the day prior to the game, and just being able to express our faith. And that's what makes this so special to me.
Yeah, you mentioned faith. You know, how big a part of that is within the program as you bring the girls in, you know, year after year?
Oh, definitely. It's a huge part, and we get an opportunity to, prior to the season, have a team retreat where we have, you know, someone come in and we'll do a team bonding day or two, and faith is a big part of that day.
Well, I want to wish you luck, Coach. You know, the rest of this season, obviously, it's a tough road to hoe because it's the Trinity League, and we know how good it is. But I got a feeling Santa Margarita is going to be right there throughout this big playoff run for you. So good luck to you, Coach.
Thanks so much, Bob. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Coach. We really appreciate it. That's Sean Fitzpatrick, the head softball coach at Santa Margarita High School's the Lady Eagles. Want to thank my guests this week, Craig Johnson and John Fitzpatrick, both from Santa Margarita High School, as we finish out our special look at a couple of great programs out with the Eagles. If you want to catch this show or any of the others here on Catholic Sports View, simply log on to OCCatholic.com/radio, click on the link, and you can look at all the shows we've done over these past several months here, as we've had a lot of fun bringing you a look at the Trinity League here on Catholic Sports View. My name is Bob Gibson. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week right here on Immaculate Heart Radio.